Good morning. Welcome to Myerstown Church of the Brethren this morning. I'm Pastor Dennis, and good to see you with us on this beautiful Sunday morning. Several announcements to share with you this morning before we come into our time of worship. This week we are praying for those on page 46 in our church directory, and we are praying for the Quakertown Church of the Brethren, and Cornerstone Church in Lebanon is praying for us. And of course, remember those on the prayer list in your bulletin. Just a reminder that following our worship time this morning, members are asked to remain for a special council meeting. And there's an insert in your bulletin that explains some of the items that we will be attending to during that council meeting. Also been asked to announce that you should please check your mailboxes. The church offering giving statements for last year are in your mailboxes. And also a thanks to those who helped take down the Christmas decorations yesterday. Also been asked to give a little explanation of some of the things you see on the worship center this morning. The cloth on the altar table and the material for the cushions on the benches in the gathering place were donated by Jonatu Awamadeo from Nigeria. Some of you who have been around for a while might remember that he was a student minister from Myerstown Seminary back in the early 2000s. He participated in the life of this congregation, and the material was a thank you from him from Nigeria. And he is currently a pastor in the Church of the Brethren in Nigeria. And the pictures on the table in the front are pictures of Jonatu and his family. So I just wanted to explain that a little bit, and if you have a chance following the council meeting, you might want to come up and check out the pictures as well. Good to have Barb back with us this morning, and as she said this morning, she's now a seasoned traveler. Six planes or something like that, you said? Yes. So let's come into an attitude of worship as Barb leads us.
Thank you. Good morning. If we could all rise for the call to worship. And the call of worship will be from Psalm 147, verses 1, 5, and 20. Praise the Lord. How good is it to sing praises to our God? How pleasant and fitting to praise Him. Sing to the Lord with grateful praise. Make music to our God on the harp. Praise the Lord. And our following hymn would be, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic. If you'd like to follow along in the page number 112 in the blue hymnal. Could remain for standing for the prayer of invocation. Bow our heads. Grant, O God, that thinking we may think your thoughts, that speaking we may speak your word, that singing we may sing to your praise, that hearing we may hear your truth, and that willing we may make your will our own, so that walking forward at the end of our worship, we may walk in your love and your peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Our first scripture this morning is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. And this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentarily troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary and what is unseen is eternal. And if we could now, the praise team will lead us in some praise music.
My people cry, I was dwelling deep in sin. lead you, and just prepare your heart for prayer.
Thank you, praise team, for that uplifting music. And if we could bow our heads for prayer, please. O Lord, our good shepherd, you are the source of all true and lasting joy. We praise you for your power, which is beyond compare. We worship you for your wisdom, which is beyond understanding. You can meet all of our needs. As we gather, may we remember those who are not with us today. For those who are sick, we ask for your healing. And for those who are away from us, we ask for your blessings to be on them. We pray for the leaders of our nation and for all of the world leaders, that many important and critical situations they face. We ask that you give them wisdom to do your will. We ask for your blessings for Quakertown Church of the Brethren, that they may hear and understand your word. May we give our offerings to you today with gladness and joy. Everything we have belongs to you, and we rejoice to give some of your abundant gifts back to you. Bless these tithes and offerings we give today. We ask for your guidance and direction for us as a church. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. And if we could, the children would come up forward for the children's message.
We're going to be over here today. So, how is everybody this morning? Isaiah, Carter, and Abby, everybody fine this morning? Very good. I have a question for you this morning. Have you ever heard God speak? Have you ever heard God speak? I'm going to read just a little bit of a scripture that Mr. Noel's going to read in a little bit later here, the whole thing, but just one part of it. And this is from the book of Hebrews, just the first verse. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets in many times and in various ways. But in these days, he's spoken to us by his Son. Okay, so the scripture said God speaks to us. Okay, and it says in the past, he spoke to us through prophets. Now, none of you have been in a pre-baptismal class with me yet, but the ones that have know that we've gone through the Bible and we talked about different parts of the Old Testament and different parts of the New Testament, and there are parts of the Old Testament that are books that we call the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and a whole bunch of other shorter ones in the Old Testament. A prophet is a person, really, and we have prophets today too, not just in the Old Testament, but prophets are people who tell the people of God, call them back to God, call them, this is the way you should be acting, this is the way you should be living your life if you're a follower of Jesus. And then in the scripture that I just read for you, it said in former days, in the old times, God spoke to us through the prophets, but he says, and now God speaks to us through Jesus. So when I asked that question, probably the first thing that went through your mind was, well, did I ever hear God speak to me like Pastor Dennis is speaking to me right now? And, you know, I bet there's some people here this morning, myself included, that would say, well, yeah, I've heard God's voice. I've heard God's voice in different ways. Not often, but sometimes a voice that I thought was probably God's voice. But most often, he speaks to us through the words of Jesus, okay? He speaks to us through the Bible and the words of Jesus, but also other things. Do you remember why we have the bread and those cups up there this morning? I talked about that a couple months ago, probably, when we had our children's time together. Does anybody remember any of what I said about those? Well, later on, those that have been baptized are going to participate in what we call communion. And we eat some bread like Jesus told us to do, and we drink the cup like Jesus told us to do. And the bread is a symbol of his broken body, and the cup is a symbol of his shed blood. But he speaks to us through those symbols, too, as we remember. What Jesus did for us, okay? So there's lots of different ways that God speaks to us. Your Sunday school teachers, okay? Jesus is speaking to you through your Sunday school teachers and through your parents and through these people sitting out here this morning. So we always have to be listening for God's voice. Because as the scripture says, he speaks to us in all kinds of different ways. We just have to pay attention. Let's say a prayer. God, thank you for your children that are here this morning, and we just pray that they have open ears and open hearts to the ways that you speak to them. Touch them with your grace, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for coming up.
The children will be dismissed for children's church. And our second scripture for the day comes from Hebrews 1, verses 1 to 14. And in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have become your father"? Or again, "I will be his father, and he will be my son"? And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." In speaking of the angels, he says, "He makes his angels spirits and his servants flames of fire." But about the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." He also says, "In the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment, they will be changed, but you remain the same, and your years will never end." To which of the angels did God ever say, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? And now this morning's message.
Well, as we look back on the year 2021, I think many of us will remember it as a year in which we saw COVID dominate the news and our lives once again. Also as a year in which politics continued to divide our country, and a year in which we've witnessed tragedies as a result of fires and storms. It was a year in which many tears were probably shed. And through it all, we prayed. And maybe sometimes we even wondered if God was listening. Of course, some good things happened back in 2021 also. There were new babies. We had a chance to gather again as families despite COVID. And for some of you, there might have been milestones in your lives, such as a job promotion or a marriage. Through it all, we prayed, and we gave thanks to God for his many blessings. You know, certainly challenges and blessings and opportunities will inevitably occur in 2022. Unless the Lord comes first, you'll have another birthday this year. Your income tax return will be due on April 15th or thereabouts, and Christmas will come again in 336 days. Those are the kinds of things you can deal with. They're expected, and you can prepare for them. It's those unexpected things that shake us up and throw us off kilter a bit, and things like an unexpected illness or an unexpected job loss or the death of a loved one or a natural disaster. Like any other year, 2022 will have its ups and its downs. And for Myerstown Church of the Brethren, 2022 is looking like a busy year.
as you actively begin the search for a new full-time pastor, and maybe even find someone for that open children and youth director position that was approved last summer. This year, like every year, as Christ Church will seek to find what God is calling us to do and to be. And while we can do some planning, just as it is with our individual lives, as a church, we'll often find ourselves reacting to what goes on around us. We've recently come through another Advent, Christmas, and a New Year season, a season in which we celebrated love, peace, joy, and the hope we've been given in Jesus. Most of you, like was done here at the church yesterday, have put the decorations away for another 300 days or so. Now what we are in is known in many churches as a season of Epiphany. And Epiphany continues through the beginning of the season of Lent in March. And during these weeks of Epiphany and also into Lent, my messages are going to focus in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews is not one of the easier New Testament books to understand, but it's one of my favorites. And even though in the Bible Hebrews is included among the epistles, those letters, many of them Paul's letters to the first century churches, it's a little different than the other epistles, especially at the beginning. As is the case with most of Paul's letters, in Hebrews there is no, "this letter is from." The author of Hebrews is never identified. There's been a lot of debate over the centuries as to who the author is, but no consensus. Ideas range from Paul to Barnabas to Apollos and others. But one thing we know about the author is that the author was well-versed in the Hebrew scriptures, as the Old Testament is quoted in more often than Hebrews than any other New Testament book, which makes sense. Hebrews, as its name suggests, was directed specifically to formerly Jewish Christians, although its content speaks to all of us. And rather than a letter, Hebrews almost seems like it's more like a sermon from a pastor who's challenging his congregation to stay true to Christ. One of the writer's biggest concerns is for those formerly Jewish believers who are having a difficult time giving up some of their Jewish beliefs and practices. It wasn't so much that they wanted to reject Jesus, as it was they wanted to hold on to the demands of the Old Testament law as well, creating kind of like a hybrid religion, pulling together aspects of both their former Judaism and what they've learned about Christ. The writer reminds them in chapter 10 that what God has done in Jesus is to reveal a new and living way open to us through the curtain, that is, his body. Eugene Peterson explains it well in his introduction to Hebrews in the Message paraphrase. He says that it's our human inclination to want to supplement and embellish the simplicity of Jesus' message, like some of those formerly Jewish believers wanted to do. In doing so, Peterson says, we dilute the purity and clutter the simplicity. We become fussily religious or anxiously religious. He says we tend to get in the way of Jesus' message. He says Hebrews is written for two religious Christians, T-O-O, two religious Christians, for Jesus and Christians. In Hebrews, he says it's Jesus and angels, or Jesus and Moses, or Jesus and the Jewish priesthood. In our time, it's more likely to be Jesus and politics, or Jesus and education, or even Jesus and Buddha. Hebrews, Peterson says, deletes the hyphens and the add-ons, and the focus becomes clear and sharp again, God's action in Jesus Christ. And we're free once more for the act of faith, the one human action in which we don't get in the way, but on the way. I think the theme in Hebrews is really summed up pretty well in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, where the writer says, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith." See,
The author likens the life of Christian faith to running a race. The author sees life as a journey through this world and into the next, and will tell us as we go through Hebrews that Jesus is both the one who initiated the race and the first to have finished the race. In running his race, Jesus traveled the same path we travel. And in doing so, he's our example and our encourager as we run our own race. So using this race metaphor, today we're at the starting line. The author of Hebrews didn't waste any time with small talk. He jumps right in, and in the first four verses of chapter one, we find a most basic and profound understanding of who Jesus is. In the past, he said, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. You see, biblical faith isn't about conforming to a form of religion. Biblical faith is about our response to a revelation. Religious forms are created by humans and developed from human ideas about God. A form of religion is a human effort to address and please God on human terms. And what we'll find in Hebrews is that our well-intentioned efforts to do what we can for God often get in the way of what God really wants to do and is doing and will do for us in Jesus Christ. So he emphasizes again and again that Jesus is the revelation of God. In the past, God spoke or revealed himself through the prophets. But now God has spoken to us by his Son. God has revealed himself in Jesus. And what sets Christianity apart from religious systems is that our faith is not a form of religion, but a response to a revelation. God revealed himself to us. God revealed us to us his will for his creation, and as Christians, we believe this revelation was in and through Jesus Christ. As Christians, we don't fast or sacrifice or pray or take the bread and the cup to please God. We do these in response and in obedience to the message we've received from God, revealed in Jesus Christ. Do this so you can remember me, Jesus said, not so you can please me. The author of Hebrews says that in the past, God revealed himself at many times and in various ways through the prophets. But now in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. In Christ, God has spoken to humanity for a final time and with great clarity. God has revealed himself so completely in Jesus Christ, there's nothing more to say. Sure, there's more that we would like to know. I'm sure we all have our list of questions we want to ask God when we get to heaven. But God is so beyond our understanding and our ability to perceive. In Jesus' words and example, God has said, this is really all you need to know. No more complete or fuller revelation of God can or ever will be made than the one that we see in Jesus Christ. That's why historic Christian faith has always rejected claims for revelation inconsistent with that is revealed in Jesus Christ. As Christians, we believe there's no other way to know God beyond God's revelation of himself in Christ. So understanding that, the author of Hebrews goes to great lengths to emphasize the supremacy of Jesus Christ. In verses 2 and 3, he says, in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through him also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. There's no greater status God could bestow on Jesus than to make him the heir of all things. The writer of Hebrews refers to several verses in Psalms 45 and Psalm 102 to make his point. And verses 8 through 12 especially, the writer interprets as having some messianic implications. But Jesus, he says, was not a passive recipient of an inheritance. He was involved in the creation of that which he inherited, through whom he also made the universe, the writer says. It's historical Christian conviction that Jesus existed with God before creation and acted with God in creation. First part of verse 3 says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. That's the writer of Hebrews' way of saying that what we were reminded frequently of during Advent, that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, that Jesus is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being. Jesus is the image of God. He is God with us. And then he says that the Son sustains all things by his powerful word. Not only was Jesus present at creation, but he also keeps the creation going with his powerful word. God spoke creation into existence. God in Christ speaks the word that keeps the creation working according to God's divine plan. And then one more sentence in verse 3. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Though the author doesn't come out and say it specifically right here, the reference is to Christ's work on the cross that provided purification for sins. The Christ of creation, the heir of all things, cleansed us from our sins by dying on a Roman cross. And as a result of his work on the cross, Christ is given that place of honor at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. And then verse 4 completes that opening paragraph. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to others. As I said, as we go through Hebrews, we'll see the author emphasizing the superiority of Jesus Christ. And keeping in mind who he's writing to, those formerly Jewish believers, the author will spend time telling us that Jesus is greater than the angels, which he does here, that he's greater than Moses, that he's greater than that Jewish temple priesthood. The writer begins that explanation here at the starting line in chapter 1 by emphasizing the superiority of Jesus to angels, that his name, in other words, his character and the nature of Jesus, is greater than that of the angels who are only servants sent to care for the people whom Jesus came to save. Evidently, there might have been an overemphasis or misunderstanding of the role of angels in the churches at the time. So the writer goes to great lengths to emphasize Christ's superiority to the angels. I think what is said here in Hebrews echoes Paul's words in Philippians 2, that therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hebrews invites us to run the race of faith and faithfulness God has set before us, to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, who is the one who has initiated and completed the race before us. You know, if you were going to run an actual race, there probably would be some things you'd want to know before committing to that race. You might want to know who's sponsoring the race and what cause that registration money you paid will go toward. You might want to know something about the course you'll be running, time, pace requirements, the terrain, the number of participants, and any prizes that might be awarded at the end. So the writer of Hebrews opens with some important information about the race God has laid out ahead of us. At the starting line, he tells us the race we're invited to run is worth running because of the one who's run it before us, Jesus, because of who he is, and because of what he's done for us. And as we read on in Hebrews, the writer will tell us that God has marked out the course for us, and that since Jesus has already completed the race, by keeping our eyes on him, we can run it and complete it also. To Today, we're a couple weeks off the starting block into a new year. Maybe at the beginning of the year, you made some resolutions. Maybe not, because you know won't keep them anyhow. But being that we're at the starting line of a new year, with an opportunity for a fresh start, with an opportunity to reorient our lives around the one who is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, let me suggest one resolution. While you might resolve to fix that leaky faucet, or fix that broken doorknob, or fix that broken step, maybe a more important resolution would be to fix your eyes on Jesus. Paul, in those words from 2 Corinthians 4 that Bob read for us, challenges us to fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Instead of resolving to run on that Peloton you bought yourself for Christmas, or to run 2 miles a day, or to run a marathon, how about resolving to run the race God has marked out for you? Hebrews challenges us to throw off everything that hinders and says we're to run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. So today in Hebrews, we're at the starting line. Starting line in Hebrews and the starting line of a relatively started line of a new year. It's an opportunity for a fresh start, an opportunity to reorient our lives, to change directions, to choose to run the race that God has marked out for us. So in the coming weeks, I encourage you to read through Hebrews with me. And if you feel your life is headed in the wrong direction, take this opportunity for a fresh start. Take this opportunity to change the direction of your life, to get on the course, to get on with the race that God has marked out for you, the journey of faith with Jesus through this world and into the next, keeping your eyes fixed on Him. Don't look back. Run with perseverance. Run to win the prize. As we come into a time of communion, I invite you to hear these words from Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 23. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, His body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. Would you pray with me? Oh God, by Your grace, we've become a part of the family of faith. We have made a commitment to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Grant that as we partake of this bread and this cup, we might renew our vows to one another and to the Christ whom we serve. Amen. All who are in love and fellowship in the family of God, who do truly and earnestly repent of your sins, who humbly put your trust in Christ, and who desire His help that you might walk in newness of life, are invited to draw near to God and receive this Holy Communion to your comfort through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Luke tells us that Jesus took a loaf of bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The deacons will pass the bread and just ask to hold it until all have been served.
Would you join me in the unison prayer for the bread? Holy God, we pray your blessing on this sacred symbol of Christ's broken body. May we receive and partake of this bread in faith, recalling the life and death of Jesus Christ. Increase our gratitude and our obedience. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. And let us join in the words of affirmation for the bread. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. You may eat. We're told that Jesus said, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And we are reminded, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." The deacons will pass the cups, again hold till all have been served. Join me in the unison prayer for the cup. Holy and loving God, we pray your blessing on this sacred symbol of the blood of Jesus Christ. Our hearts are filled with thanksgiving for love poured out. As in faith we drink this cup, may your forgiveness and your divine spirit be poured afresh into our lives through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And let us repeat together the affirmation of faith for the cup. The cup which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. If you would put your cup into the bag, the bread bag, the deacons will come around and collect. Thank you. Let's pray. Oh God, you are never far from us. You reach out and touch us through your Spirit and through these symbols of Christ's broken body and shed blood. We're thankful to have a place at your table and to share this sacred food. By your grace, may we continue on our race, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. In his name we pray. Amen. Stand and sing together our closing hymn, "'Tis Not With Eyes of Faith We See," number 571 in the blue hymnals. Go now, fixing your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of your faith, and go in his peace. Members are asked to remain for a council meeting, and those of you who are not members and wish to leave, I'll be in the back to greet you. You may be seated.